And today's scripture reading is Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beasts, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and will flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. So all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your beast, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to you.
Amen. You may be seated. And let's start with prayer. God, I just pray. In your word is clearly you are a God who desires to bless us. But I really do pray, God, that we be able to see your blessings, because sometimes it looks very different than what we expect. And I just pray that you minister to us now in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as we're kind of making our way through Deuteronomy, it kind of reflects a lot of the Old Testament, where God really encourages his people to follow his commands. Because he wants to bless them. If you read on in Deuteronomy 28, it talks about the curses of being disobedient. And it seems like there's a whole lot more about curses than there are about blessing. Why? Ever thought? Why is there more warnings than there are, hey, do this and you'll be blessed? Because we're prone to be disobedient. Our flesh opposes the things of God. And we tend to wander. And God's continually reminding us, trust me, follow me, so I can bless you, that you can live a good life. But how often we want to live a life that we think is blessed. And I would say, if we could look at, see what God sees, it's not a blessed life. Because ultimately, I want to say, often God's blessings are not comfortable. But their fruit is so evident. It's that fruit that you grow in knowing him. So we can't forget his desire above all as we come to know Jesus Christ, and therefore we're saved. And we inherit eternal life. His desire is that we spend eternity with him, not about our comfort. And how often, because we live in the flesh, we don't like this comfort. If you look, truthfully, for most of us, we think a blessing is everything goes the way we want. It's our best life now. But is that scriptural? I would argue, no, it isn't. There's too many scriptures that go, and you look at people, we're going to look at people in the Bible. It wasn't their best life now. Things happened that were not good. But you see God's blessing in it at the end. And we need to remember that. When we're going, life is hard. And there's things that happen that are difficult. I think about a pastor that I worked with. About a year after I was there, he lost his three-year-old daughter in his arms. And his faith was shaken. But he would say, even now, God used it for good in ways he never saw, in ways he can minister to people that would not have been possible, the way it humbled him, the way it shaped his faith in a much deeper way. Did it feel like a blessing at the time? No, not at all. He still grieves for his daughter he lost. But now, as he can see how God worked it for good, he can give him praise. And from, you know, the beginning, from Adam and Eve, who chose to disobey God and eat from the tree of good and knowledge, you still see God's heart is for us, always. And he desires for all of us to come to repentance and come to know and follow Jesus. In other words, he desires to save us from ourselves, from the world and the devil, because he loves us. Do we believe that? When life doesn't go the way you want, do you question it? I would say, yep, I do. But I want to say, at the end of the day, when I'm wrestling with him of why, God, where do I land? Do you land at going, God, you are always good, and you love me with a perfect love, and I'm going to rest there, and I'm going to trust you, versus raising my fist and going, how dare you do this, God? You are not good. Again, we wrestle with the flesh. We wrestle with the devil that goes, does God really love you? A loving God would never do this. We live in a fallen world. There are bad things that happen that I have no words for. There's no explanation for. But did God change? Did God all of a sudden not be good? All of a sudden God's not sovereign? All of a sudden God's not omniscient? He doesn't know everything? I didn't see that coming. No. But there's that point in difficult times. I have to land there. I have to choose to believe when my flesh is going, I don't like this. About how often we make God in our own image. And there's a danger there. Because we're all broken. We're all far from who God is. And so we tend to make him small. And in this, if we make him who he isn't. So how often, if we just look at God and the laws he made, he feels like a rule maker, an angry rule maker. Do this and I will bless you. But there's no love. Because when you take Jesus out of the equation, it becomes a law. The law showed us we were a sinner and showed us we couldn't keep it. But it is Jesus who showed God how much he loved us, that he came and he died for us, so undeserving, that we may have right relationship, that we may know him, that we may be forgiven of our sins. I'm thankful for that every day. But again, that blessing above all is being able to spend eternity with him. I don't think sometimes we value that the way we should. And we need to remember his heart is all about spending eternity with him, not about our comfort. When you look at a lot of great people of faith, it's like, wow, the suffering they went through. But they proclaim, God is good. And we need to look at God's commands that has driven all of his love for us. In a small way, example is, my daughter goes down to the barn, but I know there's a wolf down there seeking to destroy, kill her animals, and possibly her. Would I not, because I love her, warn her? To say nothing, is that love? Surely God's going to say, don't do this because I love you. If you do this, it leads to paths of sin away from me. It's all about love. And yet, because God loves us, he gives us a choice. But I want to say in the same breath, he gives us the choice. But how desperately I need his grace and the Holy Spirit to make the right choices. Because again, if I walk by the flesh, I'm going to tend to choose the wrong thing. But if I walk by the Spirit and he enables me to make those choices, then I can walk in paths of righteousness. And so how much we need to be in fellowship and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if we tend to try to do it in our own strength, it doesn't turn out well. It becomes religion. Because when we come draw closer to God, we know how much we can't do this. Again, the law shows us we're sinners. We can't keep it. Just with your thoughts. How often my thoughts are like, nope. And I need to go before God, please change my thought, and also to battle it. And he is faithful. I'd be curious what our lives would be like if we were more eternally focused. Because whether we live 30 years or 100 years, it's like a blinking of an eye here on earth. And yet, that's our focus. And we question God, why? If heaven is truly our blessing, our reward, should we not keep that in the focus? How often I don't ask God, what do you want me to do today? There's times I remember, but often through the day, how I forget. But if it's about eternity, am I not going to want to please him every moment? And again, we cannot forget, he desires to bless us. But if you could hear anything today, I want to say, but sometimes those blessings look very different than what we picture. And how often what we picture, even when you kind of look at the scripture reading today, if I'm obedient, then I don't suffer. I have good health. My kids follow the Lord because I'm faithful. It's my best life now. But is that scriptural? Okay. Let's just look at a few people in the Bible. Job. Job, God said, was a righteous man. Job was a man that God boasted about and said, hey, devil, look at him. Look how he's faithful to me. And everything was taken away from him, or his sheep, his camels, his servants, his children, and his health. And he was in great agony. And he began to question, is God righteous? If I could just only reason with God, show him he's wrong. Has anyone ever done that before? But look how Job was changed. Because I want to say, he made God small, not knowing it. But when God showed him, when you start asking the questions, where were you when I created the foundations of the world? Job became to be humble, and his whole perception of who God was changed. Is that not a blessing? Or is it more concerned that we're comfortable and have a small God? God ended up blessing Job with more than he ever had before. But that blessing was very different than what Job had in mind. And what about David? Man after God's own heart. David was anointed to be king of Israel probably around the age of 12. But he was 30 before he became king. And I'm sure he had this picture, was going to be blessed and following God, and it turned out very different. Because he spent most of that time running away from King Saul, living in the wilderness, acting like a madman. How many of us would consider that being blessed? And when you read the Psalms, you see this wrestling with God, like, God, do something. They're trying to kill me. These are unrighteous men. But I love David, how often at the end he was like, okay, but you're God. So, I'm sure David was going, oh, this is definitely the blessing of God. You know, this is my best life now. No. But do you see the blessing in all that? The blessing was God was preparing him to be king. They did not lean on his own understanding. Because he had to cling in the wilderness, he clinged to God when he became king. David would not be the king he was without what he went through. It's the same for us. And what about, let's look at the New Testament. What about the Apostle Paul? And this, he describes a little bit of his life in 2 Corinthians 12:11. I'm just going to read a little bit of this. And part of this, he is defending his apostleship right now. But he says, are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder. I've been in prison more often, been whipped times without number, faced death again and again. 5 times, the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times, I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times, I was shipwrecked. 1 I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced dangers from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Does that sound like being blessed? But I love A little bit later in chapter 12, he talks about the thorn of the flesh, and it kind of ties it all in. Let me read you that. Even though, so he had been in the third heaven, he had been before God, and he heard things that no man had heard, and he was, I think anyone could struggle like, I'm special. But anyway, he's addressing this thorn of the flesh. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn of my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Three times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in insults and hardships and persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. How many of you feel blessed being weak? How many of you feel blessed when you're sick? How many of you feel blessed when you're going through trials and tribulations? But he's talking about, when I am weak, I'm blessed. Because I have to cling to Christ. I can't lean on my own understanding. I can't lean on my own self-sufficiency. And we all, especially Minnesotans, want to be self-sufficient. It's wrong not to be self-sufficient. But God wants to bless us that we know him more. And that ain't going to come from our own strength. It's going to come. There are things that push us to go, God, I can't do this without you. And the blessing lies in knowing him more than our physical comfort. He does bless us so much physically. How often we complain about our health, but do you look at all the things that are good? I've shared this before, but one of the most profound things that happened to me when I was in the hospital, paralyzed below the waist, and they were saying, you're never going to walk again. There was a video of a guy in a wheelchair, and it showed him flying an airplane, driving a car. It was what he said that changed my life. It was one of those things where I go, okay, God used that. He said you can look at the 5,000 things you can't do anymore. Or you can look at the 2,000 things you can do. So at the end of the day, do you thank God for what you can do, or do you curse him for what you can't? And I love how Paul brought it to the Lord and said, hey, I don't like this, can you remove it? And God said, no, my grace is sufficient. And he let it go. Look how God used it. God opposes the proud. God could have not used Paul if he was a proud man. But because God worked things in his life to humble him, look of all the people in the New Testament, except for Jesus, no one was used like Paul. That's not a curse. What he went through was a blessing, but it was hard. And look, I think about all the Christian martyrs, past and present. When I'm feeling sorry for myself, I just have to think of one of them who've lost everything for Jesus Christ. They've been rejected by their families for believing in Jesus, driven from their homes and their communities. Do we have that problem? No. Their lives are threatened, and even death happens. They go without shelter and not knowing where they're going to go. They're in prison and tortured and with no hope of freedom. They have real reasons to be discouraged. Yet God, in that time, God's grace flourishes to give them strength to endure. And here's the thing. They may see God's blessing here on earth, but they will, more important, they will experience God's blessing for all of eternity. Do we want blessings now? The best life now? Or the focus is the blessings of eternity of spending it with God? For what we desire is temporal, our flesh. But our spirit should desire eternity. Kyle, one last point. Just how we look at blessing, the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, 3 through 12. They are blessed who realize their spiritual poverty, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to him. They are blessed who grieve, for God will comfort them. They are blessed who are humble, for the whole earth will be theirs. They are blessed who hunger and thirst after justice, for they will be satisfied. They are blessed who show mercy to others, for God will show them mercy. They are blessed whose thoughts are pure, for they will see God. They are blessed who work for peace, for they are called God's children. They are blessed who are persecuted for doing good, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. People will insult you and hurt you. They will lie and say all kinds of evil things about you because you follow me. But when they do, you will be blessed. Rejoice and be glad, because you have a great reward waiting for you in heaven. People did the same evil things to the prophets who lived before you. I don't know about you, but I don't like being humbled. I don't like suffering. I don't like people insulting me. I don't even like people cutting me off. But if Jesus is the main thing, does it all matter? If eternity is just like, God, I want to live my life for you, because my heaven is my reward. That is where I am truly blessed, to spend eternity with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's where there's eternal life, not here. And I want to say, we got to keep that in perspective. And we need to wrestle. Because again, our flesh opposes the things of God. It wants the best life now. It wants God to give us whatever we want. Well, as a parent, did you give your kid everything they wanted? Did you give your three-year-old a Corvette because he wanted to drive then? No. And can we trust that what God gives us and what God allows is what's best for us? Can we trust his love when we don't understand? Can we trust his sovereignty when it feels like our life is out of control? And can we accept things like Paul did? That it's like, he's going to have this thorn in the flesh until he goes home. Because God's grace showed that God's grace was sufficient. Or do we not accept it and continue to pray for the miracle? I've shared this before, but after my accident, I prayed for about 8 years daily. And multiple times a day that God would completely heal me. I wanted to be normal. I wanted to walk normal. I wanted to run. And then one day, I just heard the voice of God and said, Lauren, are you willing to give it up? And to say I was angry was an understatement. But it showed me my heart. That was the most important thing to me. And I said, God, change my heart. But it wasn't right. And about 2 weeks later, it's like, okay. I've never asked since then. It's like, wherever your will is, God, I accept it. Doesn't mean there are days I don't struggle. Doesn't mean there are days I'm trying to keep my head above the water. But I can accept it as a blessing from God by His grace. That's what He's asking us with our own lives. Can we accept what is in our life? That He's trying to draw us to Him. To not look at it as a curse, but trust Him and go, okay, God, this is a blessing. I might not see it right now, but I'm going to trust You. Then in eternity, I'm going to give You praise because, like, wow, God, that was a blessing. Because it showed me You were faithful. And that's kind of my prayer for all of us. That we look at things different. That we're able to praise God no matter what we're going through. First and foremost, by His grace. But also that choosing to believe who He is. Versus walking by our flesh that goes, God's not loving. Look what He did. We don't have answers. Even for my pastor friend who lost his three-year-old daughter, I had no answer. I just kept telling him, but did God change? And now he can look back and go, it's still hard, but wow, look how God used it. Let's close in prayer. Lord, my prayer is for the grace not to miss Your blessing, especially in those hard times, that You're working it for something far greater than our comfort. Lord, help us not forget who You are. Help us not to doubt it, but cling to it. Trusting that You're working it for good and for Your glory. And I pray, God, to be eternity-minded. This is not our home. But spending eternity with You in heaven is. So please, God, help us keep that in mind no matter what we're going through, whether it's good or bad. In the name of Jesus, amen.